the paranormal over our heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and each week we, of course, explore the subject of UFOs and the paranormal. We are now at a new time, Saturday, 3:30 Pacific time, and I want to thank all of you who are able to find us, and I'm sure that the others will find us soon because this is our new time. At any rate, our guest tonight is Pamela Kinney, and she wrote this very interesting book called Haunted Richmond, Virginia, which is all about ghosts, of course, in this city. But before we get to this subject and our very interesting guest, let me just give you a little bit of UFO news, because there is, of course, no surprise, stuff going on. The monthly statistical MUFON report for August 2007 just came out, and it shows that there are 225 sightings reported to MUFON officially. And 180 of these come from the United States, 12 from Canada, 11 from England, 3 from Sweden, and several other countries, 3, 2, and 1. And California leads the number of reports with 33 reports, Texas with 13, and Florida with 10, which is pretty much what happens every month. Pretty interesting. What is interesting is that there have been a number of landings and hoverings and takeoffs, 13 total, and 25 entities at least observed. So there's stuff going on. And, you know, one place you don't hear a lot about is Ukraine. Of course, UFOs are a worldwide phenomena, and they are seen everywhere. And Ukraine, some news is coming out of there, apparently, about UFO activity. This is from the RIA Novosti Agency in Moscow, Russia. And the Novosti correspondent in Kiev, Anna Vernaslova, has written this article, UFOs Attacking Ukraine. And apparently, there has been a number of sightings recently. The Zond study, the Zond Center for the Study of Anomalous Phenomena, says that Ukraine has seen an increase in UFO activity starting, let me see, in 1990s, they said they had 10 to 15 reports a year, and now that number has increased to 20 or 30. And some of these are actually accompanied by photographs and videotapes. Scientists are, of course, skeptical, saying, oh, you know, it's aircraft, birds, satellites, but they admit that at least 10% of these sightings they cannot explain. And they have actually some specific examples. For example, Svetlana Shevchenko, I think I pronounced that correctly, saw a UFO from her balcony on the fifth floor of a building in Kiev on Easter night in 2007. And she said it was like nothing she's ever seen before. It looked like very, very bright lights that were hovering very still in the sky. And one of them was sending down a pencil beam thin of light at the local monastery. So what was really interesting is the lights were yellow while the beams were bright blue. And there were other objects that were appearing and disappearing in the sky at the time. So it was a pretty interesting sighting. And they also listed some really other interesting sightings. For example, in 2003, 11 objects were observed at the Lanzeron Beach in Odessa, and one of the witnesses' quartz watch actually stopped at the time of the sighting, and while that was happening, all the animals in the area were reacting very erratically. These are other things that people have noticed with UFO encounters. And here's just one other encounter I want to talk about, which occurred in Kiev region in 1989. And the people who watched this very large UFO sending down this bright beam of light felt sort of a euphoric feeling, and they appeared to be under some kind of spell. According to the investigators who investigated this case, they've uncovered similar cases in which UFOs have of course, paralyzed people with their beams of light. So this appeared to be related to that in some way. But I've heard of other cases myself. I've interviewed several people who felt that same bizarre euphoric feeling when being struck by a UFO beam of light. So these are obviously not normal beams of light. So lots of UFO activity still going on. It's not going away. It seems to be escalating. But let's just get to our show tonight. Pamela Kinney is our guest. Pamela Kinney has written poetry, science fiction, fantasy romances, and now has turned her talent to nonfiction and Ghost Investigations. And her latest book, Haunted Richmond, Virginia, has just been released by Schiffer Books. And there's a website if you want to learn more about it. It's fantasticdreams.50megs.com. That's 50megs.com. And, tonight, I don't know if you guys believe in ghosts or not, but I'm sure our guest does, because apparently there's a lot of ghost activity going on in Richmond, Virginia, including, like, the governor's mansion and Ruth Chris's steakhouse and Crab Louie's seafood tavern and several other places we'll talk about tonight. So, Pamela, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me.
So, have you always been believed in ghosts, or were you ever skeptical of this subject?
Not really. I grew up in a family when I was younger that things happen, and wondering when you have a mother that can actually come to you and tell you that somebody that was alive came to her in a dream, told me when my grandmother had died and she was going to get a letter on a certain date, and that following week she got that letter on that date from that uncle of mine about my grandmother. And then years later she tells me a friend's going to call me that I haven't seen since we moved away, and I was in junior high then, and this was when I'm an adult, and I do get that call when she tells me on the date, so time. So, and of course, all my life seeing ghosts kind of here and there in places, it has become nothing to me. I mean,
It's normal for some people. You know, for me, I was very skeptical until I started having all sorts of experiences. I mean, my mom's death is what really opened me up. But a lot of people I've talked to, I mean, it's just been a part of their life. So that's
it hasn't been anything abnormal. Believe it or not, I actually saw a UFO when I was younger, too. My mother was with me. It was funny because it was in the backyard of our thing, and it was low enough to know that you could actually tell it was not an airplane.
Oh, really?
So I actually saw one of those, too, at one point, yeah, and I heard it and everything. So,
what did it sound like? I mean, what did it look like?
It definitely didn't sound like anything. I've heard airplanes and stuff. And the weirder thing was the colors. It was kind of like a red and gray. I remember that red and gray color, or silver gray. And the colors, when they met together, were kind of weird. It's like they blended. I couldn't explain that. But it was kind of circular, but it was really low enough to show how big it could have been. Like, it didn't care if it was hiding itself or not. It didn't care. This was afternoon, okay? Regular afternoon in Sacramento, in California, where I grew up in California. And just went right over our backyard, over our house. My mother and I were, like, watching it. Our mouths dropped. And then, you know, like, oh, my gosh. And it just went away. Kept going down the neighborhood.
Wow. That's
I have no idea why or what, but it wasn't obviously worried about being seen. It was low enough. I mean, it was really big.
Wow. Wow. Seems like put on display. Sometimes they want to be seen.
Yeah. So.
Wow. That's neat. So when was the first time you saw a ghost?
Golly, how long ago? Probably when I was a kid. There's so many different stories over the years.
That's what got you interested in it? I mean, you were always...
Yeah, well, I used to read the book stuff, too. I mean, it was interesting about all that sort of stuff. Didn't matter where. I mean, anywhere. I like to read anyway. I mean, I read a lot of fiction stuff. I read what I write, but I read books on ghost stuff like that over the years, you know, different stuff. And I had stuff like that from all over the world. I know I seen when I was younger, but the most impressionable one was when I was in high school. And my high school geology class, we went on a field trip to Old Town in San Diego. And the Whaley House is there.
Oh, right.
And my girlfriend and I were, we were allowed to all do what we wanted to do. It was part of the field trip. But my girlfriend and I were having lunch at that time they had, I'm sure they don't have it there anymore, a Taco Bell. And we sighted across the street, go over to the Whaley House, at least look through the windows, because we know it was historically, you know, it's an old house, and there from the old West times, and looking into the, and I was looking through the windows, which looks into the courtroom that they had there.
Right.
And I saw this lady, and this really kind of teeny lady with her hair back in a black hair back in a bun, long dress, I mean, set for the costume, like a costume. That's what I thought at the time, you know. And I thought at the time, it was kind of weird. She looked like she's almost floating, but I thought, you know. But I watched her, and she went through the doorway, and I went to the other side of the window. My girlfriend had been looking through, and I looked, and I didn't see her. And I said, where's the lady? My girl, what lady? So we later on went, and we saw the women sitting in the, because the doors were open. And we went up inside there, because we couldn't afford to go. That's why we didn't go inside the house earlier.
Right.
And I go, where's the lady in the tour guide in the costume? We don't wear costumes. And they asked me to describe her, so I did. And the one lady goes, you saw Mrs. Whaley.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, things like that have happened.
Well, did she appear to be solid?
She looked very solid, yes. I thought strange at the time. She was kind of, when she was walking, it was almost like a floating look, but I thought maybe it's just me, you know. And
was she aware of, like, her surroundings? Did you see of the people around her and stuff?
I don't know. There was nobody in there, and she just went through the room, through between, you know, like where they had a section where you can walk between the benches on each side, going straight to the other doorway and went through it.
Wow. Wow, very interesting. So you ended up going from there to Virginia, huh?
Yeah, we moved to Virginia eventually. My husband's family is kind of out here, and there was just financial reasons, that's why. Right now he works for the county out of here, and eventually, once he retires, he said he wants to go back to California. He's from New York, I'm not, but he was in the Navy, so I met him. But, yeah, there's a lot of stuff out here, and it's interesting. I mean, there's a lot of interesting things. We have a vampire.
Oh, geez, you're kidding.
A Richmond vampire, yeah. We have a vampire story. And he's connected with two things, with the cemetery where he's buried and the story where he started from, which is the train that's buried under the hill. We have a train that's buried under a hill here.
So this is like a true legend story?
It's a true story, yeah. I'm sure someone, I mean, probably was blaming some, probably didn't like him. I mean, that's all I can do. I can't find any reason who said the first word, the first story about him, but that would be my opinion, that someone just wanted to blame him for something. I think, I didn't put it in the book, I'm pretty sure, but I know I think I went on the, a couple of years before the tour of the Hollywood Cemetery here, which is a gorgeous cemetery. I mean, if anybody ever comes out here, that's worth going through. I mean, it's not on tour, just to walk. It's free, and it's got lots of beautiful art and, you know, the statues and stuff like that. But there's his cemetery, his tomb, and him and his wife. I think he might have died. He might have had some problem or something like that. And they were telling us that for years, because they tell the certain ones that there is the hauntings in the cemetery, and they tell how for years people were trying to break into the crypt all the time, so they finally had to move the bodies to an undisclosed location so they could stop, because they were trying to stake them.
Wow.
But he started with the train under the hill. There's a train, and the first time they did it, they tried to build a tunnel through it. Was turn of the century before that, but then they quit, and then in the 20s they decided they wanted to do it again. They didn't want to go around Richmond with the train, so they decided, well, let's go through this hill in Chaco Bottom, which was a big mistake because everything started collapsing on these people. Well, at the time, you know, they were trying to get them all out and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the legends started there. Somebody said that suddenly there was this guy bending, you know, crunching over this other guy, and he turns around, looks up at him. He's got jagged teeth, mouth full of jagged teeth. So they all chase him back to Hollywood Cemetery, and that's when the whole thing starts. So that's the only story about it. So
Hollywood Cemetery is in Richmond.
Yes, it's in Richmond.
God, that was confusing me there for a second.
So, like I said, they go to his tomb, which is interesting. You know, why his particular tomb? You know. Somebody had to probably despise him. That's all I could think of, you know, blame the guy and say he's a vampire, you know. But it's interesting, we could say now we have a vampire here.
Well, Pamela, how did you get interested in all this ghost hunting?
Like I said, I liked all that sort of stuff. I actually joined a local Richmond Ghost Trackers here. They're a nice bunch of people to join. But before that, I just I knew the editor that went to work for them, Dinah Roseberry. Because she does horror and stuff like that, too. We're both with the Mid-Atlantic Horror Professional.
Oh, Dinah from Schiffer Books?
Uh-huh.
Right.
And she had went and tried to approach some of the authors through the Mid-Atlantic Horror Professionals about if they wanted to write nonfiction for this. And I thought, well, what the heck? I live in Richmond, so I put an egg around the pole there, which he was. He grew up here, mostly, you know. I mean, he was adopted here when his mother died, you know, on the stage here and everything out.
Really?
And I got accepted, so I wrote it. And it was a lot of fun. I mean, you know, the people I did interview were very helpful. Nobody was, you know, like, I don't want to be interviewed thing.
Well,
they had their places. They were at their places haunted. Their places haunted, you know.
Well, what are you going to do, right?
They were really helpful. I mean, you know, nobody was unhelpful about it.
Well, you must have had, like, some surprises when you're, I mean, because you hadn't really looked into ghosts in such a, I guess, investigative way before, right?
Well, you know, I learned some stories. I mean, it's a lot of the stuff I grew up reading and all that, different people over the years of different stuff, but it was very interesting. And, you know, the restaurants, I would try their food, which is nice. I sat at Crabbe Louis, the famous table number 10.
Okay, you know, about that.
When I had lunch time.
What's Crabbe Louis' famous table?
But that's a little girl that's seen there. She's always the ghost of a girl. And they have a bar, or what's not really quite a regular bar, but where they keep the classes.
Right.
And he says, and he's told me this has happened over the years, happened to other people before, and he's the only current manager there still there. And he said sometimes he'll find the glasses that were hanging, which is, if they drop from there and went to the ground, they break.
Sure.
They'd be on the ground, sitting.
Huh.
So, you know, things like that.
Glasses,
they know it's
fall and not break?
Huh?
The glasses would fall and not break?
No, they were, like someone took them down.
Oh, wow.
Cause, I mean, otherwise, the only way it could come down is if they fall. So, you know, he's not the only one. It's been said before, and he said he's seen it happen to him, so. And like I said, little girl seen by the table 10 and all this, all sorts of stuff, so.
Do they know who the little girl is?
Yeah, I would have to look at my book. I don't remember her name, but I think they pretty well think she was one of the children that lived there, and they had a name for her like that. I had to look through the story. It's been a while, but there's a dowel in the attic that was given by one of the kids that lived, that was one of the daughters of the people, hoping that would help make her feel happy because, you know, she's a kid. But I gather she doesn't really bother anybody much there, basically, so, you know.
Wow.
It's not a bad haunting or anything like that. But Chris Ruth has to do with a murder in history, and the guy who's haunting it and his wife are the ones that are haunting it.
Okay.
He had married this woman that was younger than him, and at the end, I guess he caught her with her former boyfriend who was more her age. This is turn of the, you know, 1700s, kind of different. It was a plantation. It was a plantation at that time, so. You know, and then they tried to murder him. I think they did. And the boyfriend and the father murdered him. They went to trial in Chesterfield, and they got out of it, I think. But end up, the daughter still died anyway afterwards. She tumbled down and broke her neck. So her and her, I think, and the husband have been seen there. So that's the ones that have been seen around there, so. But it used to be a plantation before Ruth Chris took it over and all that.
And now it's a steakhouse?
Yeah, it's a steakhouse. Expensive steakhouse.
Very, very interesting. So Edgar Allan Poe grew up there, huh?
Yeah, his mother moved out here. She's an actress, and she died, and a family adopted him. And then they went, I know that, because I used to do a thing on him a long time ago in English. They moved to England for a while. He went to school there, and then he came back. He went to college out here, I think, the one out in Charlottesville and all that. So, yeah, he's from here, basically, in a way. He was born in New York, but with Smith, he must have been more here than anywhere else he grew up. So you can almost say he's Richmond's native son.
Yes, in a way.
They do have an old stone house here. That's the oldest stone house in Richmond. That houses his museum for Edgar Allan Poe, and it's also haunted, but it's haunted by children. Of the original, they're pretty well sure the children of the original owners of the house from the 1700s. And actually, it was a couple of weeks ago, I went to what they call unhappy hour they gave there at the museum in the background hall. And they said some psychic could come by there and name one of the children. So I couldn't remember what she said about the name, but I said, too bad it wasn't before my book was done. But yeah, so yeah, there's been kids seen there and stuff. Videotapes taken of them and stuff like that. So
this city is apparently pretty haunted then.
Especially Shackle Bottom. It's got a lot of stuff going down there. One of them was a former Civil War prison. It was a warehouse and became the Civil War prison for the South. And then when the North took over the city, it was for the North. It's a warehouse again. I was taking a picture there with my digital camera. My husband was with me, so I had backup to verify what I was seeing. And when you look at the place by with your own eyes, nothing was going on. It was empty. You could tell. It was a cloudy afternoon, so, you know, it was not, you know, overcast. It wasn't sun shining. And it was fine. And you look in the camera, and one of the things was moving, like flashing light. I thought, well, that's really weird. Never done that before. I look up at the thing and nothing going on with the building. So, and in the camera, something's going on with the building. So I told my husband, come on over here. And he looked at it. I said, what do you see at the building? Oh, nothing going on. Okay, well, look at my camera. What do you see there? And he tells me he sees the flashing light thing. So I took a couple of pictures, and afterwards, because they weren't lit up, none of the windows, it looks like a couple of them are lit up. So I said, I went to there's a place down the street there called Haunts of Richmond. They do like the haunted house type thing and ghost tours. And she's pretty knowledgeable because she hears all the stories from people tell her because of her ghost tours and stuff.
Right.
I said, Sandy, can you tell me anything about, you know, that's because it was Castle Thunder Prison, the name of it. And I said, can you tell me anything about Castle Thunder, about its, how, if it's haunted or really haunted, what about it? She goes, well, all I heard was secondhand stuff from people about, people claim hearing footsteps inside there and things like that. And I showed her the picture in my camera. I told her what happened. I told her, I sent it to her, what you want. I said, so obviously some. And then later on, the local Center for Paranormal Research and Investigation, which is in Virginia, I was talking to them. It was Halloween. They were up nearby here for something, and I mentioned about that. And they were saying something about people, one of the owners down there was complaining about some of the problems of some of the warehouses. So, yeah.
Wow.
So that was one of them, was Castle Thunder. But, yeah. Like I said, I think that part of the city probably could be one of the most haunted. If anybody could really dig, and probably some of the places were torn down and a lot of people, you know, don't pay attention, but I would think that would be it. I mean, there's a former Civil War prison, I mean, a Civil War hospital down there, and it's now Laser Quest. And it's haunted. And they even know about it, they brag about it, because they got an article from a Florida paper in Frame up there about it. And yeah, they showed me the blood spots on one of the rooms, and they have seen upstairs their offices, people have seen Civil War soldiers walking.
Wow.
I guess it's the oldest, probably one of the oldest parts of the city. That's probably why. But
well, hospitals are also famously haunted. I know a nurse, and she's telling me that all the nurses were talking about the various ghosts that they see at the hospitals. Which makes sense. I mean, if there's a lot of,
yeah,
you know.
Well, they said they tried to wash blood spots, and they said it's there. I mean, you know, I took a color. I didn't put it in the book, and I kept it for myself. But they said they can't get it off. I know you should be able to get blood off the mouth from off the bat, cold water. I mean, that's how I wash clothes, and get if you get blood on you accidentally.
Right.
But you know, and all that stuff. So you know, it's interesting. It's got Laser Quest in there, and they do have a couple of happenings downstairs too. With the there's a room with the balls and stuff stored in there, and where things will happen with that door not closing or something like that. So it's just interesting, you know.
It is.
All those kids playing Laser Quest there, and it's got ghosts in there too.
And what I find interesting is, I mean, that ghosts are able to affect the physical environment at all. Cause presumably, they're not physical. Do you have any theories on how they might be able to do that? Or I mean.
The only thing I can, honestly, the only theory I kept thinking and wondering about the truth, I think all of us can see a ghost if we want, even those that say they're not psychic or anything like that. I think, this is my opinion, and I really don't know, because not being a scientist or anything like that, or any expert on, I don't think anybody's an expert doing it. I mean, this is something we all don't know for sure.
Right.
I'm thinking dimensional. Because when I was a kid, I know, because I'm Catholic, and I used to think, well, heaven and hell is up. Heavens and the sky, and well, it's not, you know, it's not under the earth and all that. And I think I read somewhere a long time ago they mentioned it's heaven and hell, but it's here, it's with us, and it's dimensional, another dimension.
Right.
And you wonder, like that hot, when that picture I took, it happened to me right then and there. Number one, the camera doesn't quite really always lie. It's a machine, it doesn't know anything. It's not, you know, got a brain that can be fooled. It's just a stupid
right.
thing, you know, it's all it is. And I'm thinking that sometimes it's dimensional doors open. I mean, you know, because they were saying for years, you know, nobody can come back from the dead. It's just that, but really, you know, Jesus can. Yeah, well, maybe dimensionally they can.
Right, well, that's, I think, one of the theories that a lot of ghost hunters kick around is that it's more of like a window opening to the past, kind
right.
of.
And sometimes it just happens, and I think anybody can, because there was a woman in, when I was doing a Center Hill Mansion, which is very, very haunted. I mean, it's been pretty well told, it's been haunted. And I was talking with the docent there, who's, she's never seen anything, but she's real respectful. That's to her, you know, the people, they were there first, and she's respectful of them. But she said there was a woman that works for them, and they have what they call a ghost thing every year in January, because that's when Civil War soldiers were supposedly heard opening the doors, walking up these steps. And they have it every year, a ghost tour of it. And they have a woman that works for them, and she would take the reservations, because they found out the first year to have reservations, because they get a lot of people. They had 700 the first year. It shocked them.
Wow.
They didn't think anybody would come, you know. Here it is, they all came without reservations. So they, every year they do that to make sure it's not that many for the house, right?
Right, right.
And the girl would always make fun of them when she was off. She'd say, oh, those people believe in ghosts. I don't believe in ghosts. Well, a couple of days before I came, she was taking somebody upstairs, the mansion, and she hadn't turned, looked across the hallway, and she saw the skirt scurrying away. That's what she called it, skirt scurrying away around the corner. She came down the stairs, and she said, and the other one said she looked really like, oh, my gosh, auto. She goes, I saw the ghost.
Uh-huh.
And this is the one who never, ever in her life saw anything to that point. So I said, I think sometimes you have to have the right opening, and I think anybody can. They just don't realize it, but I think we all can. It just has to have the right time, and you have to be probably noticing it.
Right. Well, also, I mean, it'll help if you visit some of these locations because, which are known to be haunted.
Right.
Right. Well, everyone, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and our guest today is Pamela Kinney. She has written a book called Haunted Richmond, Virginia. And this is a call-in show, so if any of you out there want to call in and ask Pamela a question, there's a toll-free number, 877-270-8714. I'll repeat that in case you want to write it down, 877-270-8714. And yes, feel free to call in. We always love callers. And Pamela, how can people visit your website? What is the name of your website?
The Fantastic Dreams, I use it for both writing, for my all my stuff, writing, so there'll be other stuff on it. But it's HTTP, and of course, you know, the .. Fantastic Dreams, with an S on the end, .50megs.com.
And 50 is the numerical.
Well, 50 megs, I think, is the place. It's one of the 50megs.com.
Yeah, 50. And
right, 50, just like it sounds.
Okay. Very cool, very cool. So does your family and your friends, do you tell them about your ghost research? Do they support it?
My husband doesn't care. He actually read my book, and he retards sci-fi. I thought that was funny. He really was reading one of my books, because if I had something like horror, he won't read it. He reads just straight hard sci-fi, but he read the book and liked it.
Oh, really?
So that was good, and my son knows about it. Of course, my son likes real ghost stories. I mean, he read all the big famous guy here is L.B. Taylor. He read all his and all that. And my mother-in-law knows, so she has one of my books. I guess the rest of the relatives know. That's my husband's side. My side, I probably haven't told him yet, because I don't ever communicate most of the time during Christmas. I'll probably let them know that doesn't bother, because they know I'm a writer. But I have a friend I hadn't seen in years. I wrote to her. Well, you know, we communicate by pen pals for a long time. And I did send her one of my cards, the postcards I had the chipper gave me, and she went out and ordered the book. So.
Oh, cool. Well, it sounds like you've got a pretty good support there then.
Yeah. You know, my husband supports me anyway, all my writing, so.
Yeah. Well,
so, you know, and he read it, you know, so he said it was a good book. Of course, that has a lot of history. He likes history, too, so.
Right. So is this mansion that you were talking about earlier, what's the name of that mansion?
Center Hill Mansion. It's in Petersburg.
Is that the governor's mansion that's supposedly...
No, the governor's mansion is another one. It's got a lady that's been seen there by the governor. Actually, just lately, currently, was it on TV or something? I saw somewhere they talked to the current governor or something about her, and I think he said something about maybe seeing her or something like that. He wouldn't mention more than that, but they did talk
exactly.
Just lately about that.
This is the governor of
Virginia.
Virginia, lives in a haunted mansion.
Right, yeah. It's been, for all the years, things have been happening and all that. Some also been seen there was a butler by, I think, one or two people at one point, too. So I don't know who the butler is, but he's been seen there. But there's been a lady. They don't know who she is. Maybe she was a guest, maybe. Who knows? I mean,
right.
Where it came from. But, yeah, this lady's been seen there.
Well, how old is the mansion? I mean,
Well, when they first, Richmond, it became the, you know, the capital of Virginia. It was a smaller house, I think, or something like that, and they redid it, all that stuff. They rebuilt it and stuff like that
right.
to what it is. So I would have to find my book. I'm trying to remember now. I think it was like the early 1800s or something like that. But so I don't know, like I said, who the lady is. Nobody's ever figured it out.
Right.
I mean, she could have been somebody that died there before the mansion was there. I mean,
so this is not some place you can visit, but some of these other places.
Generally, no. You can look at it from over the fence. I couldn't get close enough to take a picture. They do have, I think, is it Christmas time? If I'm right, you can go in there and visit. But that's about it. They don't generally, which especially now at 9/11, I think a lot of things like that are. You can go into the Capitol. When I took the picture of the Capitol, which had a weird thing that happened a long time ago, it's easy. It can be visited too. But the mansion itself, no. I mean, they have a guard at a gate there and everything.
Right. Well, what about like Ruth Chris's Steakhouse and Crab Louie's Seafood?
Yeah, you can go there.
Do they advertise their ghosts? And you know what I mean?
Ruth Chris has it. I think has it on their website. Crab Louie's doesn't, but he's not ashamed about it. So when you go there, you can always say, "Well, can I have the? I've heard about the ghost in Haunted Richmond. You know, he knew about the book I dropped it by. He was wanting to know when it was out." Can I have table 10 if possible? You can always ask that. He's not going to turn you down.
Well, did you sit at table 10 then?
Yeah. I went later. We went to eat there and ate at table 10. Nothing happened for me, but that's okay. You know, it could happen, but it has happened there, so.
Well, I mean, stuff has happened to you, so you know. I mean, you already know.
It's right by the fireplaces, so I don't know if that was significant. Maybe the little kid played there a lot or something.
Huh.
And that's why she's still there, but. Seen there, but yeah.
Well, what about haunted hotels? It seems like here in California, that's where most of the haunting activity is going on. Well, I mean, I don't want to say most of it, but a lot of it, a significant portion.
I'm sure there is. I probably didn't get a chance to talk to a lot of people, but not hotels as much as, let's see, there's up the street from me, this Rixham Hall, which now she uses it for weddings and receptions, and it's haunted by the lady in red. She's been proven by the Paranormal Center Paranormal Group, and for them to prove that she's really there, I mean, they're pretty well skeptics. They try to use machines and everything.
Well,
they don't use psychics, and they said that they had a voice come on so they can prove that she really is haunting the place. But the lady in red, it's really up the street from me. I can walk to this one. I went and did the interview with her, and the current owner uses it now for a lot. She owns the place, but uses it for, like, weddings and receptions. They got a little extra room that was built off of it. It's an old place from the 1700s.
Wow.
And the woman that's haunting it is named Susanna. That's who they think is pretty well. And a psychic came by and told her it was, so she pretty well has at least kind of indicated. People 3 years said it was Susanna that did it. It was one of the daughters of one of the owners.
Were you able to talk to anyone who actually saw her?
And she's been seen there in a red dress, and her voice is heard. Actually, was it a year ago when before I interviewed her, she had a wedding there of a judge and his wife who was a nurse,
right.
And his brother took the picture of them. Now, there's just a couple there in the picture when they took the picture. When he got the pictures back, there was a red dress standing next to him with a ball of light where the head would be.
Oh, wow.
So she came to the wedding, I guess. But, yeah, there's a upstairs, there's a room. You hear a lot of the people hear voices on the landing. And it's really interesting. In the old book, I found about through L.P. Taylor's and a couple other people, the original owners were the Gates in the 70s. Start with the Gates. Same thing happened later to the owners that owned it before the current owner. They owned the same business type thing. She bought it off from them. And whenever everybody's downstairs and they hear the noises upstairs of people talking, they turn the TV loud. that would make the voices go away. Because it's funny because she was telling me, oh, I'm not really scared. But then she turns the TV on. My mom, if you're not scared, you want to run upstairs and see what the voices were, you know. But no, she stays downstairs and turns the TV up. They all did it. Everybody who's lived in a house does that. Like, you know, that's going to make the voices go away. But, yeah, you can hear the voices from upstairs. I know when I was there, it was a year before I started writing the book, I went there for the Center Paranormal had their meeting outside to check it out, you know. And I went there, and we were allowed to go upstairs. And it's the bride's room where they're at. Where the ghostly thing is a lot of the haunting. It used to be one of the Gates' daughters. It was always considered very cold in there and everything else. And one of the women, two of the women went to the bathroom. They had a bathroom there and was talking about something about the bathroom. And the other woman went straight back into the room looking out the window. And I just stood outside the landing there, and the door started closing on me. And it only went, and then it stopped. And I had felt really weird about the place since I've been in there. And I know that, like, since I've been in the ghost, this really felt like I was being pressed down, literally is the word.
Right.
I can't explain it. After that happened, whatever happened was pressing me down. All that hour was there, snapped. So I guess she was showing me she was there, I guess. She had earlier also turned the lights on for everybody. There was a corner that was dark, the lights were off.
Right.
And the light turned on. And the owner says, oh, I guess that's her. I'm going, okay, you're used to that. But she turned the light, everybody went, oh, my gosh.
Right. Well, ghosts seem to be able to affect the environment.
Yeah, she's not shy. A lot of things have happened with this ghost, so, you know, she's pretty well famous for that.
Some ghosts are stronger than others. I mean, they can affect not only electromagnetic equipment, but to opening doors and stuff like that. It's
amazing. Yeah, she's got a big chapter in the book, believe me.
So how many people do you think have seen her? She's pretty famous then?
A lot, yeah. A lot of people. Workers, when they moved the place, originally it was moved. So she moved with the house. You know, you think ghosts don't move with the place if it's moved, right? She moved with the house. Originally it was more up toward the Iron Bridge Road. But a lot of the land was sold, and it's now a shopping center where there's a few crop shop, supermarket, and all that stuff. So they moved the house back. The owners, you know, the Gates owned it, and they wanted it moved back.
Wow.
And there's a nice bunch of homes built around it, too. It's a nice neighborhood. And they were putting the houses together. It's actually two houses in one. It was a long time ago. They had to find a part. They wanted a floor and ended up had to buy another house. So it's two houses in one, really. And they were putting it together, workers, and workers have seen her.
Wow.
In the window. One of them was angry that she tried to flirt with them.
Oh, really?
That's what they thought, you know, on the window. And there was nobody there at the time. So how could there be anybody in the house flirting with them? Nobody, the owners weren't home.
Okay.
Finally, one of the owners came home and said, what's going on? There's nobody home.
So this is Wrexham Hall?
Yes, Wrexham Hall.
Do the owners or the people who run the place, do they advertise the ghosts or allow people to
come?
Yes,
she's on her website. She does have it up there. She's not ashamed. She got up there when she mentioned about her wedding and everything. You can find the website on it.
Pamela, we have a caller.
Okay.
So, caller, are you there? Caller? Do you have a question? I'll ask you one more time. Do we have a caller? Oh, I didn't hear the beep. I'm sorry. Okay. All right, caller. Well, we missed your call. If you want to give it another try, give us a call back. And, So, Pamela, I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
They advertise the ghosts on their website, Wrexham Hall does?
Yes, it does. She has about her weddings and stuff like that and where you can get a hold of her, but she does have a section you click it on about the lady in red, so.
Wow. Well, it's amazing to me that these, what are people going to do if you have a ghost? You may as well talk about it because it's going to attract people, I think.
Yeah, she's there and she's doing it. She has said all the brides that have been in the room admit that they're, you know, that somebody who I feel like somebody's staring at them and all when they're getting dressed. So I'm sure that's very uncomfortable. And she's been on, like I said, she's been in books before, and she's also been on the local TV show called Virginia This Morning. They called her one time to interview about that. So her house is famous. She doesn't bother her. I mean, you know, you got it, you got a ghost, you know. And, so she's not ashamed to put it up there on the website, yeah, you know, about the story about the lady in red and all that.
All right. Well, about how many haunted places did you talk about in your book? Approximately.
Hold on, let me get one of my books. Hold on. Right here.
We're talking with Pamela Kinney. We're talking about haunted Richmond, Virginia, and there are apparently lots of places here that you can actually visit and see these ghosts for yourself. So it's pretty interesting, including Wrexham Hall, Crab Louie's Seafood Tavern, Ruth Chris's Steakhouse, and even the Governor's Mansion, although you can't visit it, is apparently haunted, which that you don't hear a lot about. There's all these political scandals. You don't hear much about governors seeing ghosts. So that's fascinating.
Okay. had to get my book. Once I write it all out. Some stories I do remember and all that. There's Haunts of Richmond, which is the ghost tour. It actually has their own ghost. That was interesting. I was going to do them because they're a ghost tour.
Right.
But then they actually told me they had their own ghost. They found out about a few months after they opened up the place.
Well, that's...
There's two types of things. They get a ghost tour. When they first opened up, they have a just like a haunted house. You go in like Halloween time. Well, they do something like that, but it's a true ghost story, except for one, and they always tell you which one is not the real ghost story. And yet, everybody always tells them what they know which one's not. Well, then they open up a ghost tour. Well, they had this one actor come by and kept telling them there was something back there. And they kept, well, you're probably just saying that. Until they had a radio station bringing a psychic there, and he actually named her and everything else. So other actors started coming forward and say, yeah, we had some experiences back here. And then customers would mention, you know, because they would say, well, we know your actor's not allowed to touch, but there's somebody back here touching us on the shoulder or hair, you know. So, yeah, she's haunting the real haunted house section. Is it really funny? Doors will be open, there'll be nobody there, and they thought, you know, there was supposed to be somebody there. Actors will think that the owner wanted to hit her husband, who's an actor, too. They thought he was behind them. They're talking to him. They find out he wasn't there. He's in up front waiting for them. So, yeah, she's haunting that section. That's one. And some of the chapters have several stories. Like I said, the Shackle Bottom. But once the Richmond's in Shackle Bottom, too, but it has to have their own chapter. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 25. That's 25, because one of them I didn't do. There was about three stories. The rest have quite a few stories in them.
Wow.
That's Haunted Shackle Bottom has several. That's including several bars in the area.
Haunted bars?
I mean, we have one called Big Daddy's. That's quite a name, but it used to be a furniture store, and I think the ghost haunting it is from the furniture store, one of the wife or the daughter. Chesapeake County has several hauntings in here. One of them's Magnolia Grange had a couple of things, so they had a psychic come by, and she told her about seeing the ghosts there, and she did describe who the people look like in life. And she was interesting. She had with her, believe it or not, it was supposed to have been on Sci-Fi Channel. The lady was waiting to hear back about it, never heard anymore. She had the guy that was from Amityville Horror, the original guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was with her. So she came from Pennsylvania.
The actual witness? Lutz? George
Lutz? The actual guy, yeah.
Wow.
Said he was real quiet. That's Tamara at Chesapeake, you know, the Magnolia Grange. She's like the charge of the shop and everything there. So he was a real quiet, just kept himself person.
So Richmond, I'm not surprised it's haunted, because that's like one of the oldest cities around. I mean, that's got to be a pretty old city.
Yeah. Well, I was always read somewhere, and someone said that could be wrong, but I always thought I read somewhere that Virginia itself is one of the most haunted states, so.
Well, do you have any stories of like a Native American ghost? Did you ever run across that?
Yes, there is. There's one called Haunted. It's actually with a whole toll road. It's called the Pocahontas Parkway. A few years ago, it opened up, and it was on the news. It was in the newspaper. It started with one truck driver. It was usually about 1 o'clock in the morning, that time around there late, and it opened up. Okay, it cost quite a bit to drive, but sometimes it'll take that lot easier to get from 95 to 295, and he took the first toll road, opened up. And also, while he's in it, they're here seeing Indians, you know, on horse people, not just him, others after that.
Really?
Indians on horseback whooping across the toll highway, things like that. And there was an experience with some of the toll road people and all that stuff. And it was on the news. On local news, admitted it, you know, about that. And it was in the paper. And they found out later, a lot of them, I think they were discussing, because number one, it probably was a lot of places where Indians lived. So, you know, there's probably a lot of Indians died there and stuff like that.
Right.
But they found out, some people have admitted that there, before the road was put in there, that people used to hear sounds, like yells and stuff.
Right. Well, I just wondered, because Virginia, I mean, was probably settled pretty early and probably drove the Native Americans out pretty early.
Right. So when
right.
the tow road opened up, I mean, they were just doing what they always were doing in that area anyway, so.
Wow.
Now it just had a highway to go across. I haven't heard anything since, lately, but that's what happened when it first opened up, and that, and it was always at night, so.
All right. Well, okay, now, what about Powhatan Prison? Is that in?
Yeah, we have a prison, the big major prison, a state prison in Powhatan. It's had some ghostly stuff. That was the only one I ever heard. I had to hear that from somewhere else. But it was supposedly some guy was brought in there, and there was, they actually mentioned the number 666, so whether he was a bad person. But after he was put in there, things started happening and stuff for a while, so they would have problems with certain areas of the prison. Which, if you think about it, same thing with the other prison, the Civil War one. One thing I heard about the Civil War, I did find out, that indicated, I found a website that had a lot of the history about it. And someone told me that they heard a lot of stories about the brutality of the guards in that one. And you know, prisons, if you think about it, that's probably a very good place to have a lot of hauntings. If you think about all the viciousness in it, and some people are bad people anyway, that's why they're in there.
California's most famous haunting, I mean, maybe besides the Queen Mary, has got to be Alcatraz.
Yeah.
Which is just totally haunted. I mean,
you think about the Civil War one, the one I took a picture of, the story behind it was a lot of the guards were brutal to a lot of the people. And this one here, of course, the guards weren't brutal. I mean, they had, but still, you know, a lot of bad people, like, you know, stuff like that. So this probably, I think, prisons probably would be the most place that would have any hauntings.
Well, during the Civil War, it was supposed to be really bad. And remember Andersonville and that whole scandal, which still is echoing today.
Now, there's one by me here. I tried to get some stuff. The only story I got out of it actually ended up affecting Magnolia Grange was a former worker for the Chesterfield Historical Society. He had died of died in the prison. He was in the little jail that's still there. It's really old, and it's been there since forever. But now you just visit it's a historical thing. And he had, a heart attack or something like that, and he died in there. And actually, a little bit later, there's subsequent things that are happening over at Magnolia Grange for a while. Like, I guess he was telling him goodbye, is what Tamara told me. But that's the only story about it. I would think there would be stories with that, because, you know, it's, you know, the way it was and all that. But I haven't heard anything from that one, so. I was surprised. You think people had to have been held in there. I mean, that's the one that was hung, and all. I mean, the one husband of the one that was murdered, his family, that's where the family was put in. You know, that's where they put them, but I haven't heard anything about that one.
Mm.
So I would think, like I said, I think prisons would be a very good place for that.
I'm certain you're correct, yeah. So do you have any accounts of, like, dangerous ghosts? Do you think that ghosts have the ability to hurt people?
Well, when I grew up, I know there was a couple of experiences, but that's, I can tell you stories that had nothing to do with this one. So I did admit it in one of the stories. I did put in my chapter about it. But in this one, there wasn't that many really anything bad ghosts per se.
Right.
The only one that might have been the closest to having a problem was Scotchtown. That's because it might have been Patrick Henry's wife. She had mental problems. And so that was one thing about that. She died, you know, not really with it all there. But that's about it. But nothing really that I could, any story that I got, that anything bad about it. There was one story that was kind of scary, but I don't know if it's a story more as a story than a real ghost haunting. But it did affect something that really did happen. It's the one I got in the chapter of Prophecy and Terrible Fire. There used to be a theater where a church is now.
Right.
And before the story, it was in this book that they found. It's at the Richmond Historical Society should have it. And they talk about this woman, talking about one of her ancestors that knew a young girl. And the young girl had supposedly a person came up to her and told her a story, some being, you know, that she was going to die before she turned 16, which she did. She died in the fire, which she turned the next day. It was around Christmas. And that was a prophecy with that. And that was the only real haunting, per se, with that.
But you had personal experience with ghosts that attack?
The one I had that was really scary, I lived in California, in El Cajon. There's a place that's like apartments, but they were more like homes. They were separate with garages and that.
Right.
And what happened to me was, and my husband at the time, I don't know to the day why it did it to me. I have theories, but whether I'm right or wrong, I know that the time when it started happening next door to me, I had a person I knew in high school, and she was married to this guy, and she had found he was cheating on her, and that's, I guess they had a fight that time. Well, that's the exact time whenever something came over our fence. I thought it was the guy next door, and I didn't like him too well. Didn't understand why she was married to him. When I looked out the window, bedroom window, there was nobody there.
Huh.
It was after that that haunting started happening in our house. Cigarette smoke would be smelled in front of the couch, not just by us, but we had a babysitter we hadn't that lived in another city, and we brought her to babysit our son. He was little at the time, so we can go out, and we didn't tell her anything. Bigger, better not say anything. I'll freak out, and I'm probably not going to have her. And we came home. She goes, "Your place is haunted." I go, "What do you mean?" She goes, "I smelled the cigarette smoke in the front of the couch all night, and nobody's here smoking, and I know none of you smoke." And then things started happening. It was just really creepy. It bothered me because my husband worked at night at that time till 1 o'clock in the morning, and sometimes I'd take my son on a tour of the week, and I'd run over to my girlfriend's on the street because I couldn't handle being there.
Right.
It just really bothered me. And one night I woke up. He never bothered my son's bedroom. I was thankful for that, and he didn't bother the bathroom off of our bedroom, but he did. There were different areas things happened. But I woke up one night in our bedroom. I attempted to look through. I had this feeling to look toward the doorway, and there was a man standing there, and he had this really nasty look on his face.
Huh.
And it freaked me out, and I hid under the covers all night. I just stayed under there until I hopefully fell back to sleep. And I think I saw him, and the only thing I could think of is because of the woman and the man fighting next door when it all happened. He was cheating with a woman down the street, and the place, the woman that he was cheating with lived in, this little studio apartment.
Right.
The guy before her committed suicide.
Oh.
And died there. And I know that suicides are not happy people. That's why they commit suicide. And I was thinking maybe because of the connection. That's all I could think of. I mean, otherwise, I don't know why I haunt my place. I haven't heard any stories. I have. There was nothing wrong with my place beforehand. But, yeah, it wasn't the only one. A lot of people had a lot of experience because of that. So he didn't feel good to have that guy there, believe me.
Did it finally end then at one point?
Huh?
Did it finally stop happening?
We moved out not that long after, because we had been there for a while before it started happening.
Huh.
So after that, we moved out. Whether anybody else, I don't know.
Wow.
But, yeah, it was the only one that really bothered me a lot.
Wow.
I mean.
So have we talked about the Bird Theater yet?
No, we haven't. That's a neat theater. It's a second-run movie theater. It's been there since the 20s, and it opened up. And it's haunted by the guy, the first manager, which is the one that, when it opened up.
They know exactly who haunts it. That's always interesting when they actually know who the ghost is.
Yeah, they got a picture of him. He's been seen. That's who they know it was. He died. I think he had to be forced from retirement. He didn't really want to be forced from retirement. It was after that he died. And that's one that, you know, he had a special seat up in the balcony that he liked to watch the movies from. And generally it's blocked off. So unless you're allowed to go up there, and most of the only people allowed up there are maybe workers, because they get to go see the movies for free. Like the owner was telling me, the current manager was telling me that the some of his workers go up there, and they have friends, so he lets them go up there and stay up there and watch the movies from up there.
Right.
And they came down later and said, "Well, who's the old dude? I thought we weren't allowed to have anybody up there." So yeah, he's been seeing. He says he's never seen anything, but other people have and all that stuff. So he's been seen at the back door sometimes by some people, like he was helping close the door, lock it for the night, because they have to lock it, to keep it safe and all that when they're gone. So, yeah, they all describe him, so.
So you think...
Yeah, it's just the former manager. He doesn't want to give up being from there, I guess.
Do you think there's anything that people can do to increase their chances of seeing a ghost?
I couldn't tell you for sure. Best thing to do is just go to these places and visit them, and let it go in. I just feel that if it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
Right.
Like I said, that some of these places are pretty good haunted. Center Hill's very, very well haunted. They showed me pictures of things that do happen. They showed me a picture of arms coming out and hands coming out of the air out of nowhere toward this one guy who wasn't even paying attention to him. He was looking at some stuff on the wall that they have hung up there for the museum. So, if they go to these places...
Oh. Wow. It's a fascinating subject. Some people are just really frightened by it. seems like it's
Yeah, I've had a lot of people say, oh, be scared to read that. I said, actually, I said, never felt scared reading these kind of stuff. I said, you know, horror stories, you want them to be scared. So when you write a ghost story and that, you really are doing probably opposite of what real ghosts would really do. I said, this stuff has always just been kind of interesting, you know, to me. It's never scared me reading it, but there are people that say they're scared to read anything like this.
So are you working on the other books about
ghosts? I'm going to probably write for them. I'm writing an urban fantasy for now. I got a chance to pitch to an agent, but I already told her, kind of talked to Dinah at DragonCon where we were at, and I said I want to do one on, like, the legends and myths of Virginia. Because there's so many things, like the Richmond Vampire, and I have a friend, like a friend that wrote found some stuff, and she actually did an interview with a horse that was psychic. They used to be here, a real horse. It actually could tell you things. So she sent me stuff on it. So I'm starting to collect things for that. I thought that'd be interesting because everybody's got, you know, you hear about Wisconsin monsters or you hear about the New Jersey devil and all that.
Right.
Every state's got its little legends and myths. So.
Oh, that's true. We have the Chupacabra running around here in California.
I figure, what the heck, I'm going to, you know, write that. That sounds interesting. So.
No, people are, I think this whole field is opening up a lot.
It's getting more popular. I think more and more people, actually a lot of people believe in it. I mean, this book has been selling for me, not just in Richmond, but, you know, everybody's interested in, I mean, you know, I think people are starting to question about life after death and all that stuff. It's not like it used to be, I mean.
All right. Well, I think science is beginning to prove it, quantum physics, and there's
right.
these ghost shows on TV, which are actually getting some amazing footage and proof of ghost activity.
A lot of them. There's a lot of that on there, a lot of good shows on there about that. So, you know, it makes you, you know, wonder, you know, and more. There's just a lot more people interested in it. I mean, when I mentioned, I don't hardly have anybody tell me I'm crazy or anything like that, or the devil or something like that. I think one person did it, and that was when I was writing it, and that was where I exercised that, and she talked about having me come to church. I said, well, I'm Catholic. I come to my own church. And I said, don't you? And she goes, well, I don't believe it. I said, well, don't you believe in devils and angels? You go to church? They're spirit. Oh, yeah, well, so yeah, that was the only person, so.
Well, do you think
everybody's really embraced it, so.
Did you run across cases of, like, poltergeists or demonic spirits or something like that?
No poltergeist now. I guess, you know.
What about animal ghosts?
All these ghosts basically are ghosts that haunt, or just regular hauntings.
So. No animal ghosts?
There's the black dog of Richmond. That was Goochland. That was last couple of centuries ago. And that was one. That's the only one seen where they'll have the black dog and that. Everybody keeps seeing a black dog or things like that. That's about that one. Other than the Indians riding horses across the highway, that was an animal. But, yeah, there is the black dog one.
You know, that raises a question. I mean, if a ghost of an Indian with a horse is being seen at the same time, that makes me think that the explanation of a window towards the past is probably better than...
It might be that, like that. I'm not sure of that.
Is a horse going to be haunted? You know what I mean? Why would a horse be held back and...
No, at least they died together and were buried together. I know a lot of the stuff that Native America...
Well, Pamela, you know, we're almost at the end of our hour here. We've got like 2 minutes. Is there anything you want people to know about ghosts or your book that we haven't talked about already?
Well, I hope that they go out and buy it and enjoy it. I've had people from actually start emailing me enjoying it from different states, too. And it's not just about Richmond. It's for, you know, everybody to read. If you like true ghost stories and you like history and all that stuff, and if you like, you know, interesting legends, like, I mean, a vampire story, This is a book I hope that'll satisfy everybody.
And it's got photographs, too.
Yes, it's got photographs. I took those photographs.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, Pamela, that's pretty much our time. I want to thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, it's been very interesting. I'll have to have you back on again when you write the Virginia, what is it, Weird Virginia or something? Monsters of Virginia.
No, it's not going to be weird. I was thinking Uniquely Virginia, but like Dinah said, it might change, but I think I like that title, Uniquely Virginia. That's all our own little legends, but...
Well, whatever it's called, I want to have you back on again when it's out. Well, that's our show for today, everyone. I want to thank you all for listening. You've been listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett. Our guest today has been Pamela Kinney, and we've been talking about her book, Haunted Richmond, Virginia, which has just been released by Shipper Books. And if you want to learn more about it, you can go to Pamela's website, which is http://2/ slashes, then the words fantasticdreams.50megs.com. That's 50megs.com. And there's more information about that book and some of her other books. And next week, I hope you all can join us because I have another guest. Her name is Katarina Wilson, and she's going to be talking about her new book, I Forgot What I Wasn't Supposed to Remember, which is about UFO abductions and experiences. It should be very, very interesting. I hope you all can join us. Until then, have a great evening.